namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 16, text 21, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You know the verse? Trividham narakasyedam. You say? Trividham. Say. Trividham narakasyedam. Four-year-old boy, ask him any verse from Gita, he can say it. Maybe a little bit of a struggle, but it's quite an achievement. He's shy, okay. So now we'll all chant that together. The verse is written here, you can all see it. I hope you can all see it. Three, please say three. Vidham narakasya. Idam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamaha krodhaha tatha lobhaha tasmat etat trayam tyajet. Trividham narakasyedam. Dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kama krodhas tatha lobhas. Tasmat etat trayam tyajet. Trividham narakasyedam. Dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kama krodhas tatha lobhas. Tasmat etat trayam tyajet. Little confused there. He put avam instead of etat. Then he has to learn Sanskrit grammar, so it can't be avam after. Yeah. Yeah. Then someone else, maybe the father can also chant.
Trividham narakasyedam.
Trividham narakasyedam.
Dwaram nashanam atmanaha.
Dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Kama krodhas tatha lobhas.
Tasma de
tatrayam tyajet. Trividham narakasyedam. Dwaram nashanam atmanaha. Tasma krodhas tatha lobhas. Tasma de tatrayam tyajet. Trividham narakasyedam. Tvaram nashanam atmanah. Kama krodhas tatha lobhas. Tasmade tatrayam tyajet.
Three
vidham
of three kinds.
Narakasya
of hell.
Idam
this.
Dvaram
gate.
Nashanam
destructive.
Atmanaha
of the self.
Kamaha
lust.
Krodhaha.
Actually,
it's the same word in Hindi, Kannada.
For the Western
people, they
need. But for
Indian people, you all
know what...
Unfortunately,
we all know what
krodha means.
Anger,
yeah.
Tata.
And I think
you all know what tata
means. Huh?
In the
high level
of language,
you'll use the word
tata. Well, it
has two main
usages.
One is yata
tata,
which means
like this, like that.
And then
tata
also means,
it can be used
in the sense of
and.
And Srila
Prabhupada is given here,
as well as,
which
is another way of
saying, and
lobha
is the next one.
And you all
know what that means.
Kama,
krodha,
lobha,
these three are being
described here.
Tasmat,
that
you may not know.
If you know
little
Sanskrit,
then it will mean,
yeah, therefore.
Because
of that.
It's easy
if you're looking
at it in
the
smartphone
or whatever.
Etat.
Now
that's where
Damada
got a little confused
there.
Etat, evam.
They sound
the same, but they
have
very different
meaning.
Etat
means
these.
Triam.
Easy
to understand.
Three.
See,
even the English
word
seems
to come
from the same
source.
Triam,
three.
Tyajet.
So
tyaja,
you get
the sense
of
giving
up.
And tyajet,
that
one
must give up.
One
must give up.
The form
is
imperative.
You
must,
this must
be done.
Tyajet.
This
must
be given up.
There
are different
forms.
Tyajya
means
it is
give-upable.
It
is,
what's
a better way of
saying that?
It is
renounceable,
something
like that.
But tyajet
means
must
be given up.
There
are three gates
leading
to this
hell.
Lust,
anger
and greed.
Every
sane man
should give
these up,
for
they lead
to the degradation
of
the soul.
Purport,
the beginning
of demoniac
life is
described
herein.
One
tries to
satisfy
his lust,
and
when he
cannot,
anger
and greed
arise.
A sane
man
who does
not want
to glide
down to
the species
of demoniac
life
must
try to
give up these
three
enemies
which
can kill
the self to
such an
extent that there will
be no
possibility
of liberation
from this
material
entanglement.
Om
Ajnana
Timirandhasya
Jnananjana
Shalakaya
Chakshun
Militam
Yena
Tasmai
Shri
Gurave
Namaha
Nama
Shreshtam
Manamapi
Shachiputram
Atra
Swarupam
Rupam
tasya
grajamurupuring
maturim
goshtavatim
Radha
kundam
girivaramaho
radhika
madhavasham
Prapto
yasya
pratita
kripaya
shri gurum
tamnatosmi
Vandeham
shri
guru
shri
atafpada
kamalam
shri
gurun
vaishnavangscha
Shri
Rupam
Sagrajatam
Sahagana
Raghunatan Vitam
Tam
Sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna pada sahagana lalita shri vishakhan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The author of this book is... Who's the author of this book? Maybe a bit, little difficult to say. Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. Vyasadev is the author. Ganesh wrote it down. But the author of this book is His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He has, his name is there, Bhagavad Gita as it is. He's, but again, of course, Srila Prabhupada will always say that he's not presenting anything new or anything that he made up. It is the knowledge that Krishna has given, and he's explaining it according to the way that the previous acharyas have explained it. Evam parampara praptam. This knowledge is received in disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada, he was an acharya. At the same time, he wasn't any ordinary acharya. No acharya is ordinary. Acharyang mang vijani yan navamanyeta karhi chitna martya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu. Do you know this verse? Prabhav, you're nodding your head like that. You're familiar with this verse? Krishna, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when instructing Uddhava, tells him that the acharya should be considered to be me, just like me, should not be disrespected in any way, na avamanyeta karhichit, in any way, at any time, for any reason. He should not be considered an ordinary mortal person. He is the representative of all the demigods and all the saintly persons. So an acharya is never to be considered ordinary, but Srila Prabhupada was, even among acharyas, a towering figure. So the duty of an acharya is to teach the shastra. Achinoti yashastrani achares tapyatyapi. What's the next line? Acharya achares tapyatyapi. Swayam acharate yasmat acharyas tena kirtita. One is known as an acharya who lives according to the shastra, teaches according to the shastra, and establishes the principles of shastra. So Srila Prabhupada is always speaking the Vedic knowledge, which he called philosophy. Now in the Western world, philosophy means different kinds of mental speculations, but Srila Prabhupada taught the Shastra, but not exactly as A, B, C, D. This is the verse, this is what it says. Learn it. You can do that. Just like this boy has learned the Bhagavad Gita shlokas. Then he has to learn the meaning of the shlokas. I was just saying that this morning. Did you hear that this morning? I was speaking in the Jagannath temple. Was that on live? That Srila Prabhupada, when in Dallas at the Gurukul, devotees brought the boys and they were chanting the Sanskrit verses, and Prabhupada asked, do they know the meaning also? He wasn't satisfied that they knew just the verses. It's a good start. But then apart from the translation, one has to also understand the meaning in depth, and that Srila Prabhupada gave the purports, and he was always speaking this knowledge and explaining it. Philosophy means to understand this. So Srila Prabhupada would explain it with reference from Shastra, with reference from the Acharyas, and in a very logical way also. He would give different different logical explanations, and he trained his disciples to do that. Just like I was listening to a humorous exchange between Srila Prabhupada and some of his disciples, where they'd just been in a conference where some professor who was Mayavadi type said that, well, everything is molecules, and molecules are invisible. That means nothing really exists and everything is just a dream. So then one of Prabhupada's disciples who heard that, he said that, well, okay, just to demonstrate that your philosophy is true, we'll take an invisible chair and smash it on your invisible head. And it'll all be invisible and it's all a dream, so it's a meaningless. So the point I'm making here is that Srila Prabhupada's disciple had been trained so well by Srila Prabhupada that he could immediately come up with such a response. That if everything's just a dream, okay, then we'll smash the dreamlike chair over your dreamlike head, and it's all just a dream and doesn't exist anyway. If you want to live up to your philosophy, you have to be ready for that. But who will be ready for that? So Srila Prabhupada was always speaking this knowledge. Now you may wonder, why am I saying this when the topic of the verse is Kam, Krodh, Lobh, these are the three gates to hell? Because as an acharya, why does an acharya teach? Because he wants to help others to come to the platform of knowledge and understand what is our situation in this world. And we're asking people to chant Hare Krishna. And you may say, well, chant Hare Krishna and you'll feel happy. And we may say to people, chant Hare Krishna, and it's a nice song and it sounds nice. But really, people have to understand this is a very serious matter. Chanting Hare Krishna is very joyful. And when there's something joyful, we don't usually put joyfulness with seriousness. The two things seem to be quite different, don't they? We'll be very joyful. Okay, enough joyfulness, and now we'll have seriousness. But the two things go together, because chanting Hare Krishna is the means in this Kali Yuga for coming to the highest platform of life. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalau, Nasceva, 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 Gatiranyata. There's no way to reach the ultimate destination beyond the world of birth and death without chanting the holy names of Krishna. It's very emphasized with the word Eva, which means certainly, Eva Kevalam. Kevalam here means it's the one way, there's no other way. And it's very much emphasized by stating it three times. So that's very joyful, but at the same time, there's a very serious understanding here that this joyfulness that is on the platform of spiritual reality, that is reality. But the alternative to not becoming Krishna conscious is to continue suffering in material life. And what is that material life? It's all based on karma, krodha, lobha, these are the three gates to hell, lust, anger, and greed. So this needs to be explained so that we can understand it. With our intelligence, in the human form of life, there is intelligence more than the animals. It's not meant, this God-given intelligence is not meant for living like sophisticated animals. Animals, they make some residence. The ants make an anthill. You don't see them in Bangalore. But if you go a little bit outside in the country, you'll see anthills. They're big quite big. They build up. You don't have anthills in the West. They may have underground residences in the West. They go down in the earth and make the... Then the birds, they make nests. And the human beings make big condominiums and apartments. But it's the same propensity. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha. Samanyame tat pashubhir naranam. Humans and animals, they all eat, sleep, fear, which brings in defense, and mate. So what's the difference between, what's the special propensity of human life? Dharmo hitesham atiko visesham dharmena hina pashubhir naranam. Dharma is the special prerogative of human life. Without that, a human is just like an animal. Sometimes this verse is rendered gyanena, dharm, gyanehitesham, gyanohitesham. That knowledge is the difference between human life and animal life. And the two go together, because without knowledge of the higher purpose of life, then why should one follow dharma? So Srila Prabhupada has always given this knowledge, as Krishna has given this knowledge. Without this knowledge, we'll simply remain on the platform of kama, krodha, and lobha, as are the animals. An animal cannot think what is right and what is wrong. He judges right and wrong in terms of getting food, getting place for shelter, getting sex. A human is supposed to see that although these are necessities of human life, attachment to them entangles one in material life. So it's a conundrum that we need to eat, we need to sleep, we may not need to fight, but we need to make some protection against the cold and the rain in this season, and the heat in the summer season. And sex is also required in human society for perpetuating the human race. So these are necessities, but at the same time, by becoming attached to that or desiring to do that any more than is required, we become entangled in materialistic life. Therefore, tyajet, that word tyag is required. The word tyag and vairagya, they're very closely associated. Tyag means to give up, and vairagya is a sense of not being attached to. So these things are required, and we put a lot of energy into fulfilling our needs. For eating, sleeping, mating and defending, people spend, here in Bangalore, most people spend most of the world nowadays, people spend all their time working. But the end of the day, to use that worn out expression, at the end of the day, all they get is some food, some place to live, and some sex. And that's it. And then at the weekend, they can go to a party, and that's called enjoyment. But no one's happy at a party there. They're just some loud laughing, but no happiness in the soul. So eating, sleeping, mating and defending, yes. But then if we desire more than what is required, we become entangled in material life. So it's a very fine balance we have to keep. We have to eat. We have to sleep. But if we think, okay, I'll sleep. All right, I need some place. So some place will suffice. I'm just staying in Jayanagar, and there are so many houses. Each house must be, if sale value must be, I don't know, a few crores, something like that. And then just outside on the street, there are some people have put a few bricks and some plastic on the top, and they're living there. There must be temporary workers, there must be some construction going on. When they're asleep, and the wealthy people in Jayanagar who are asleep, they're both sleeping, do they feel any? It's the same sensation, isn't it? Is it not? When you're asleep, you don't know whether I'm asleep in a luxury apartment or whether I'm in some busty on the side of the street. You don't know. It's the same thing. So one should see it. But unless these things are pointed out, we don't know. We don't think about it. We become anxious to create more and more facilities for enjoyment. But we don't think that the dog is eating has the same pleasure as where we're eating. And then if we get birth after birth, we're going to become a dog, we're going to become a cat. We should think about these things. Therefore, the acharyas, they write books. They speak on these things so that we can understand these things and not become entangled in materialistic life. All the conceptions that people have, the ideas that people have, why they're passing their life, all the philosophy is based on this kaam, krodha and lobha. That just like all of you growing up in middle class Indian families, then from an early age you get the idea you have to work hard, you have to study hard, work hard, isn't it? From very early age you have to get ahead. And the idea, what's the idea? That you study hard and later on you'll get a good job. Just like you've got a good job, right? How many hours a day do you work?
10 hours.
10 hours. Oh, that's not so much compared to other people. And with commuting?
Commuting is
1.5 hours. Yeah. Both ways, if you put it together. So you've got a good job, right? You're not sure. Yeah, you see. Yeah. That's what, when you were at the age of the toddler screaming there, from that age you were told you have to get a good job. Now you got a good job, but you're not sure if it's a good job. It's good in as much as that's what people call a good job, but factually you get frustration and physical health problems, and a lot of people in your situation get mental health problems. Definitely stress, it's not called a mental health problem, but it's definitely mental and it's a problem. And does affect your physical health also. And here's a physiotherapist. All the people with good jobs, they have to spend a lot of their good salary going to the physiotherapist because you're one of his patients. So. Because the good job is not very good for health. But the point I'm making here is that the idea, where does this idea come from, that you have to study hard as a child and then work hard and that's good? Good job means it's good. This is what you should do, it's good. Well, it's an idea that it's just an idea that it's good. So all the idea of what is good is based on karma. The idea that if you get a job by which you earn how many rupees a month? You don't want to say? Yeah, you can tell. 150,000 rupees a month. That's a good job. Oh, people say, oh, that's a good job. Wow. Wow, good job. You were in America. How much were you earning, dollars, per month?
Per month?
$200,000 a year. They, in America, they talk in annual salaries mostly. How much was that in Indian rupees at the time? Shakuntala, do you have this? You don't have your one crore. 1.4 crore a year. I see. Why did you give it up? You had a good job. You have a good job, but you're not sure if it's a good job. What is good? Why is it considered good? Because you have more money, and if you have more money, you have more opportunity for fulfilling karma. But the problem is that it doesn't actually make you happy. It's the perennial myth of materialistic life that we will be happy by having more and more and more. But here, Krishna warns that karma, krodha and lobha. Krodha, that word literally means anger, but anger doesn't only mean shouting and slamming your fist on the table and slapping someone in the face. There's also internal anger, frustration, your general feeling of anger about everything in the world and everything around you. And then lobha, this whole modern society, how is it that they can motivate you to go to work and work hard? They're promoting the idea, isn't it? All the advertisements, the whole culture, the way of life, get more, work hard. The young girls and boys they're inspired and encouraged to dress in a manner that they'll attract each other and to act in such a way that they'll attract each other. Increasing karma. And then from karma means, okay, I got money, I have to spend it and I have to buy more and more things, get more and more. I'm earning 1.5 lakhs a month. And then I have to hop jobs because over there I can get 180. And when you're in a new job and then you're looking around, what's the next one? Hop job, hop job, hop job, like this. So even people may not believe in hell, but they're already living in hell in their own mind because there's no satisfaction. There's no love. There's no good feeling between people. And often we find people, they like to come to some religious gathering and religious, but happy. Let's be happy at least once a week. And we'll come and we'll have some talk with some jokes and there'll be a Swami who'll make us feel good and we'll sing some bhajans and life is good at last. And then tomorrow is Monday. Back to the grind. So Srila Prabhupada is very kindly teaching all these things. The whole problem begins, Krishna speaks at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Now in this is almost the end of chapter 16. Chapter 16 means we're getting toward the end of Bhagavad Gita. There are 18 chapters. Krishna's instruction begins in the second chapter. And Krishna begins by teaching the difference between the body, which is temporary, and the self, which is eternal, the Atma. Elsewhere we find Lord Krishna, we find his teachings in Srimad Bhagavatam, where in Srimad Bhagavatam the topics of Gita are elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna therein speaks of Dehatma Buddhi, or identifying the self with the body, identifying the body to be the self. If one thinks, I am this body, instead of understanding I am an eternal Atma, soul, distinct from the body, if he understands that, then he's understood the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Then he'll be free from karma, krodha, lobha, all these things. Of course, not just a matter of theoretically understanding, it's a matter of realization. Realization comes from sadhana. By hearing, we theoretically understand, then we understand we have to do sadhana to actually purify our consciousness. Tasmat etat trayang tyajet. Krishna says, these three have to be given up. How do we give it up? It's not like, if you say, for instance, you shouldn't wear that t-shirt. It's something vulgar is written on it. So, okay, you can give it up. It's very easy. You just take it off, that's all. But it's not very easy to take, you just can't take off and on the spot give up lust, greed and anger. It's we'd like to, but it's so much intertwined with our consciousness that we find it difficult to do so. Therefore, sadhana is required. And part of the sadhana is regularly hearing the teachings of Gita and Bhagavatam and understanding. We have to reinforce the understanding. I'm not this body. Therefore, what I desire for the pleasure of the body, that desire is my enemy. It's a gate to hell. It's an enemy. So Lord Krishna speaks about this in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke swadhi kalatradeshu bhoma ijadihi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhi jidjaneshu sa eva gokaraha. Krishna says that anyone who thinks that this body, which is after all made up of mucus, bile, air, and so many undesirable things, anyone who thinking I am this body thinks that, well, I am this body, I was born in this land, therefore this land is glorious, it's wonderful. Indians say, Mera Bharat Mahan. Pakistanis don't say that. British people don't say that. They don't feel it's my land. In every country they have songs like, this land is my land, this land is your land. Ever heard that song when you're in America? Then everything's great in America. There are so many songs. There'll always be an England. No, there won't be. There'll come a time when there won't be any England. But there's a song. There'll always be an England. Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the waves. That was time during the British Empire. The British Navy ruled the waves. So. Rule Britannia, Britannia, all these nationalistic songs. If I say to you, yeah, England's green and pleasant land, that's another song. Some idea that Jesus went to England. Did he? Well, someone thinks he did. Will those feet be seen again in... Will Jerusalem be seen again in England's green and pleasant land? If I speak to you about England's green and pleasant land, you don't care at all. But an Englishman may think, oh, yeah, England. Oh, you have to put this hand on the heart, right? England, England. The result of over attachment to the country is that you may be born again in that country. Oh, very good, very good. I'll be born again. You may be born as a cat or a dog or a tree or a porcupine, but you may be born again in that land. So it's foolishness to be attached to the country of one's birth. But because that's also a kind of karma, to be attachment to the land of one's birth. Yasyama buddhi kuna petridatuke swati. Then attachment to my wife, my children. Even Krishna, he spoke this verse which I'm speaking on now, yasyatma buddhi kunape. He spoke this at Kurukshetra. Krishna gave spiritual knowledge at Kurukshetra, right? Very well known, Bhagavad Gita. But twice he gave spiritual knowledge at Kurukshetra. He went there twice. You'll find it in the Bhagavatam. And actually, if you go to Kurukshetra by train, you get down at the train. At the train station, you'll see there are pictures of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and there are also pictures of him speaking another time he came at the time of... It's painted on the station, on the entrance. Pictures of him there also at the time of the... there was a solar eclipse. So Krishna went, and at this time he spoke to the various sages. Sage means rishi, muni, they were all gathered there. And he spoke this, that people who go to holy places like Kurukshetra simply to bathe, that's what you do during a solar eclipse. It's very auspicious to go during a solar eclipse to Kurukshetra and bathe in the Samanta Panchaka, the five lakes which were made by Parashuram from the blood of the Kshatriyas. Now there's water, you won't see blood. But if you bathe during a solar eclipse in that water, that's very auspicious. But Krishna says, anyone who thinks that the real tirtha, the real pilgrimage, is simply bathing in the water, such a person, they are no more intelligent than an animal. They don't. And in other words, Krishna is giving the idea that the real purpose of going to a holy place is not served by simply bathing in the water, but by taking spiritual knowledge from the saintly people who gather there. So all these wrong ideas in the world, they all promote karma and krodha and lobha, and they all lead to hell. It all begins with the misunderstanding that we are this body. And therefore we find that Srila Prabhupada, again and again and again, to his disciples, to members of the public, he would again and again and again make this point. We are not the body, we're eternal living beings, we have no real relationship with this body whatsoever. And then the fact that our real self is a part and parcel, an eternal servant of Krishna. But the first thing to understand is that we're not this body. Because even if we say we're eternal servants of Krishna, but you don't make the point that we're not the body, you may end up with something like the Christian idea that we are the body and we're related with God, and then when God comes on the day of judgment, he'll put all our bodies back together again. Same body. They have that idea. I know, I was raised as a Christian, so they tell you that Jesus comes, and if you're a good Christian, he puts your body back together and transports you off to heaven. And then if you're not a good Catholic, then you get sent to hell forever. And you get a special body which it gets burned all the time, but somehow or other doesn't disintegrate. So they're so much fixed on the idea that we are the body that they think that even to go to God means you have to go in this body. So it's such a misunderstanding. So this beginning of understanding, we're not the body. If we think we're the body, we indulge in desire for fulfilling the desires of the body. And again, in the Christian conception, the idea is you go to heaven and you enjoy yourself. That's all. They have no idea that we have to serve God. In the Bhagavatam also, there are very many strong statements about this, the consciousness that arises from identifying with the body and therefore indulging in sense gratification. Nunang pramata kurute vikarma yat indriya pritya aprinoti na sadhu manye yata atmano yam asannapi klesha da asadeha. Rishabdev, instructing his sons, says, certainly nunam pramata, completely crazy. People are crazy, insane, who perform sinful activities for the sake of indriya priti, satisfying the senses. When we're talking about karma, karma means the desire to satisfy the senses. This is not good, Rishabhdev says. It's not good. Because it perpetuates material existence, which is full of suffering. Good job, well-paying job, big house, whatever. It simply perpetuates the suffering, that's all. Bill Gates is suffering with his, who knows, someone can say how much money he has. He's suffering, and he'll continue to suffer in the next life, unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. He's probably getting a bit old. Better go and tell him quickly. But will he listen? Not likely, because dhana duramadandhan, everything, all the teachings are there in Shastra. Dhana durmada andha. This term is given in the Bhagavatam. People are very wealthy, they tend to become arrogant, infatuated and arrogant and blind to their real self-interest, even more than everyone else. Dhana durmadanda. So this consciousness, let me enjoy life, it's not enough to understand that we're not this body, because we may follow the Vedic teachings, but think that, okay, in the Vedas it says that if we do pious activities, we'll go to heaven. So we'll go. Then after some time we have to come back. Then, all right, we'll come back and we'll do some more pious activities and again we'll go up. That Taitang Bhukva Swarga Lokang Vishalang Kshine Punye Martya Lokang Vishanti. Then what happens next? Ang Tatrai Dharmam Anuprapana Gatagatam Kama Kama Labhante. People, they go up to the heavenly planets, they enjoy Kshine Punye Martya Lokang Vishanti. Then they come back again. And then again they do pious activities. Then again they go up, and what is that? Kama, kama, because of desire. They go up, they go down, they go up, they go down, they go up, they go down, and if they make a mistake at some point, instead of up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, it becomes up, down, up, down, up, down, 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 down. If you make a little mistake, then you don't go up, you go down. And that's how material life goes on. So it's all based on the thought that I am meant to enjoy this body. I'm meant to enjoy life. So even understanding that we're not the body is not enough in and of itself to make us free from material desire. So I'm not this body, well, I'll enjoy this body and I'll enjoy the next body also. And the one after that. Once in Thailand, I asked one woman, because in Thailand, Buddhist reincarnation, people believe. So they like to eat all kinds of horrible things, which I won't talk about now. Really horrible things. Their favorite food is pork. For your information, if you don't know, a pork means the flesh of pigs. Well, it's actually one... See, in English language, they're eating pig's meat is so popular that in that culture that there are three words. There's pork, There's ham and there's bacon, according to the way they prepare it or something like that. But pork is the general term, pig's meat. So I said to this woman, so you know there's reincarnation, and you know that because of that, in your next life, you'll have to become a pig. I said, doesn't that bother you? And she said, no, that will also be fun. We'll also be happy and enjoy ourselves. Such illusion. So to know that we are not the body is an essential beginning, but it's not enough in and of itself to inspire us to come to the platform of endeavoring for self-realization. I'm quoting from Rishabhdev's instruction, his first instruction, Nayam Deho Deha Bhajangri Loke Kashtan Kaman. Say the word again, Kaman. Arhate Vidbhujam Ye Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Shudyad Yasmad Brahma Sokyam Tvananta. He speaks very strong words that having attained the human form of life, one should not act karma for the sake of karma, for indulging the senses and enjoying the senses, which even the animals that eat stool, like pigs, they also, actually this woman was saying, will enjoy. They enjoy. But what is their enjoyment? Eating stool. Some devotees were telling me in the villages in India, now they have this program that all toilets, no more outside defecation, is the name of the government. But that also produces a problem because the pigs don't get their natural food. So they eat all the crops. They dig up the carrots and everything. So you saw, now we're very clean, we don't defecate outside, but the pigs say, hey, you know, we also got our right. What happened? Now, one should not eat or endeavor to enjoy life, because after all, the pigs are very happy when they get stool to eat. On their level of happiness, they like it, they enjoy it. I saw the first time I came to Vrindavan, I was doing 1976, I was doing Vrindavan Parikrama early in the morning after Mangalarti. On a veranda, the boy came out and pulled down his pants, and then the pig was waiting underneath because he knew every day, same time. You get the nice, fresh, hot, tasty. Some landed on his head, which was a bit of a problem for him. But anyway, he got it. He knew. It's great, you know. Fantastic. Really good. Well, another time in Vrindavan, I saw in the drain, one little piglet had got fallen in the drain, was trying to... Because why do they go in the drain? Because the water comes with all the stool. So that's for them. Great. Just sit there. Watch this. But the little piglet got inside, couldn't come out. And the mother was wondering how to get the little piglet out. The piglet could just jump in, and there's a river of stool. That's one of the hells, right? There are all kinds of hells. Krimi Bhojan. You go in one hell and then all the little insects and bugs are eating you. It's no joke. So the Rishabhdev says that one should perform divine austerities. Austerity, in one sense, everyone is taking. Going to work is an austerity, but one should perform austerities for the sake of purification of consciousness, by which one becomes qualified for eternal spiritual bliss. This is required to be understood. Srila Prabhupada was always teaching this. We should live for eternal spiritual bliss. Otherwise, we get caught in all these wrong ideas, which may sound right to us. Just like we have our rights, we have our the Tamils should get the water. The Kannadigas are keeping too much water. It's our right. We need the water. It sounds, and then you have to think, well, should they give it or shouldn't they give it? And so many problems arise when we identify with the body instead of understanding that if we live in this world in the way that Krishna tells us to live, then everything will come. Everything will be given by Krishna for what we need to live in this world. But we're not supposed to live in this world simply for enjoying this world. We are meant to live in this world for serving Krishna. So all these so-called philosophy, all these ideas come out, all wrong ideas, which are, we can say this idea, have a good job, work hard, it's actually sending us to hell because it's promoting lust, from which comes anger, from which comes greed, from which comes illusion, from which comes pride, from which comes envy. These all drag us to hell just because we don't have the right idea. It's very prominent in the world today, especially in the world today, where you're promoting everyone should be a great success. How can everyone be a great success? Because success means you're ahead of others. So everyone can't be ahead of everyone else. Only in a race, there's only one winner, right? And you might get, there's a gold medal, and a silver medal, and a bronze medal, consolation prize, and all the rest, they're all failures. So it's like that. You can't all be a success. Not everyone can be a success. Not everyone can be ahead of others. So it means that a few people are ahead and everyone else is frustrated. And the ones who are ahead are also frustrated because they thought they'd be happy by being a success, but it doesn't make them happy either. So all the wrong ideas in the world by which everyone is suffering, actually. People come to Bangalore because they think, I'll earn money and I'll be happy. But everyone is suffering. No one is happy. All comes from the misunderstanding, I am this body and I'm meant to enjoy it. And Hindus as much as anyone else. Hindus should know that there's rebirth. And that they should know, right? At least Hindus believe in reincarnation. But it's a case of pashyanapi na pashyati. They see everyone is suffering. They should know that this rebirth is not good, but still they go on as if this life is all in all and everything is there. And what happens in society? Gradually everything deteriorates because calm is being promoted. No one should go without taking prasadam. Give them prasadam. Don't let them go without prasadam. If you have to go, sorry to see you go, but please don't go without prasadam. Just make some arrangement, they're going to get prasadam. Don't let anyone leave without taking prasadam, kindly. Some rules here. What happens to keep people? Why are people going to go on working? You have to motivate them, get money, and then you have to spend it. You have to buy so many different clothes, and people who have more money than they need for their basic needs, then it's promoted. You buy, then they have more clothes than they need. A car, maybe you need to get from A to B, but then you have to have, it's not enough if you're earning lots of money to have some simple Maruti. You have to have a more expensive car. Actually, for getting around in Bangalore, the most practical thing is a two-wheeler. But for prestige, you need a car. And then the car is traffic jam, and then the two-wheeler becomes more appropriate in the traffic jam, more helpful in the traffic jam. So yeah, then karma, then comes prestige, and then lobha, you have to have more and more things to show your prestige, and then pride, and all these things come. But what happens is, in societies where karma is promoted more and more, then people start to think, well, actually, I don't need all this money to enjoy myself. If in a moral society, you have to get married to enjoy sex. But then people may think, well, it's so much struggle and so much difficulty, we can just have sex without marriage. And then it comes to the level of animals. And then society degrades in the name of freedom. Then there's no responsibility. And then people don't care about, I don't have to work, I could just on the street, like an animal, have sex. What's wrong? What's wrong with it? They'll say. And then the whole society degrades. People become very selfish. You see, in married life, there's a sense of responsibility. Why are you working so hard? You may say, I'm not working so hard just because I want lots of money. I want to support my family. But when that's about, if you think, well, why, then you start thinking, why should I bother all this headache, all this family? There's a nice girl in the office, I'll just take her and enjoy her. And she becomes pregnant, then abortion. So when karma is promoted and we don't, then it covers the intelligence. Avritya dehinam. It covers the intelligence. And we don't think, well, I'll have to suffer sinful reactions for illicit sex, for abortion. You don't think, you don't bother, you don't care. And then the whole society goes to hell. And people become, in this way, also very selfish. Instead of thinking, I have a responsibility to others, no, let me just enjoy myself, that's all. And gradually you see that in Bangalore, more and more people, they don't care about their elderly parents. Even they're married, they don't care. Or they don't want to marry. Why should I marry? I can enjoy by myself. So in this way, the whole society goes to hell. There's no, even materially, there's no sense of responsibility. So when Krishna says that these are three gates to hell, it's not just something in the future, but right now we can see it. It's right here among us. So how important it is to understand this Bhagavad Gita. So you train this boy to understand the verses and understand the philosophy and preach the philosophy, at least live the philosophy. Very great responsibility to have children, to train them in such a way that they don't get born again. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat. Pitana sasyad jananina sasyad daivanga tatsyanna patischa sasyanna mochiyadya samupeta mrityum. Rishabdev again. That's the third time I've quoted him today. You should all study the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that one should not become a guru unless he can deliver his disciples from birth and death. One should not become related with anyone in any way unless he can deliver them from birth and death. And should not become a father or mother unless he can deliver them from birth and death. One should not take a respect from others unless he can deliver them from birth and death. It's a very great responsibility. So it's a good start. Teach him the verses of Bhagavad Gita. Then teach them to live like that. Okay, I'll finish now. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Tomorrow it's back to work. So I won't delay you any further, unless anyone has any questions about this. It's all easy to understand, right? I didn't say anything I was talking philosophy. But there's nothing difficult to understand. It's all quite obvious and apparent. But unless it's pointed out to us, we won't see it. That's why it's necessary to study this Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and regularly hear these topics explained. Because unless it's pointed out to us, we don't see. Yeah, so is there any question, please?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, you said Sanskrit, it is very important that we learn Sanskrit verses and all that. But doesn't Srila Prabhupada's meaning, which he has given in the purports, is enough, or we should understand Sanskrit verses?
Did I say learning Sanskrit is important? I said it's good to teach the children the verses, but then I also said it's important to teach them the meaning.
Yeah,
definitely. To understand the meaning is more important than memorizing the verses. But memorizing the verses is a good tool to help that knowledge to be fixed in our mind. If we can remember, just like for instance, kama krodhas tata lobhas tasmat etat triyang tyajet. Give prasad. If we remember, it's easy to remember in Sanskrit. It's like a sutra. That these are the three gates to hell, therefore they should be given up. So it helps us to retain that knowledge. Plus it's the words of Krishna, which are very purifying. And it's easy for Indians to remember these verses because many of the words you know also. And if you learn many verses, then you can also learn some of the meanings of the Sanskrit words which come up again and again and again, which are not normally used in spoken Indian languages today. Just like I was saying the word tata. It comes up again and again in Sanskrit. So then you get to understand the meaning when you read it again and again. And for children, yeah, the mind needs something. The mind should be trained. So it's a very good training to train them to learn these verses. Any other question? No, then we'll finish.
Hare Krishna. Let us thank Maharaj by loudly chanting Hare Krishna Mantra once. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So Maharaj travels all over the world and preaches about Krishna consciousness. And he also has written several books where we can be in touch with the teachings of Maharaj and learn more of them. By reading his books all
first thing is, everyone should have Gita as it is. Does everyone have in their home Bhagavad Gita as it is? Or in your, some of you are not, some of you are just staying in a hostel, huh? Is it? Anyone here? Staying in a working man's hostel, is it? Do you have, everyone has a copy of Bhagavad Gita. Where you're going back to where you stay, you have a copy of Gita as it is. You all have that. Okay, good. Then the next thing is Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone has that? You don't have Srimad Bhagavatam. You must get. Oh, really? I mean, you're coming, you're putting on tilak, you must get Bhagavatam. Otherwise, you're spoiling your life. Really? Bhagavatam, yeah, everyone should have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. Really, this is serious stuff. Yeah, the human life, you got after so many births. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the knowledge that we require to become fully Krishna conscious. Who doesn't have a set of Bhagavatam in their home? You also don't have. Anyway, put your hand up, and then we're not going to force you to take it, but we'll convince you. Even if we force you, it'll be for your own good. Just like the mother, sometimes the children don't want to eat and they force them to eat. And the child is screaming. Why does the mother do that? Because she knows the child needs that. So you're so kindly come here and you've listened to a difficult to listen to talk. Now, most people wouldn't like to listen to the things I'm telling. That means that you already have good, serious interest in spiritual life. Now you must solidify that by taking a set of Bhagavatam. So you know all the people? Okay, take a shot with their hands up. And no, please don't worry. It's really the best benefit that you'll get. We're not saying this because we, for any other reason, but then for your benefit. We really desire your benefit, and therefore you must have Bhagavatam in your home. And then you must read it, of course. So just see everyone. Ananta Vasudev. Did you make a note? See everyone.
Yes,
who doesn't have Bhagavatam?
I'm going to make a list and then we will deliver Bhagavatam to their house.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, they have to agree to do so. Okay, already we got one who's agreed. You've also agreed, okay. Maybe people are coming for the first time, they're not fully prepared for that, but anyway, give them a set of Bhagavatam.
Sure.
So did you see there about five hands went up there? There's the gentleman.
Raise your hands, everybody who wants, would like to take.
No, even if you don't want, if you don't have it, just raise your. If you don't want, you should want.
I know most of them, Guru Maharaj. I'll personally make sure that they read.
Yeah, but look, you have to just take a note of everyone.
Okay, 1, 2, 4, 3, 4, 5. Okay.
All right, so you can advertise my books also. And if those who wanted to take photos, you can take photos now also.